News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 8:11, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. We've got Julio Diaz on the line. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, Saturdays at 4 here on News Radio, and the Pensacola Movie Club on Thursdays. Typically, they watch movies and talk about them. Julio, welcome back to the show, sir. Hello, Julio.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Hey, yeah, absolutely, hey. We can, for sure. So good to have you back from San Diego, from Comic-Con. I'm sure you had a fantastic experience and got all kinds of good extra sleep. but good to have you back. You guys watched what, Talk to Me last night?
Right, yeah. This is a new horror movie released from A24. I'm not sure if A24 produced this or just distributed it. It feels more like something maybe they're distributing than they made themselves.
Okay.
Because it feels... something that kind of came up in the discussion last night. It feels like kind of like a Blumhouse film in a lot of ways.
Okay.
But better made. It's like a lot of these Blumhouse films that you see the trailers for, they have a concept and a lot of jump scares, and that's about it. This isn't super jump scary, but it's got a good concept, but it actually kind of follows through the concept. And it's a well-made movie. The performances are really good. It's an Australian film. So the cast is basically nobody you've ever heard of. And then Miranda Otto is like the parent figure in it. And it's well-made. It's good. It's not great.
Okay.
It's a solid entertaining enough film once, but I don't think it's something that people are going to go back to over and over again.
How does Haunted Mansion stack up? That's the other slightly more significant release this week.
This is the second time they've tried to make a Haunted Mansion film. there was one a few years back that starred Eddie Murphy. I don't know if people remember that. It was not very well received.
Oh, God,
it
I don't even remember well that. Reviewed. Okay.
You're lucky. let's just put it that way. It at least was, I don't know if it still is, but it was on Disney Plus at one point, which is where I finally saw it, because I had a friend that said, "Oh no, you got to see it," and he was wrong. I need those 90 minutes back, and apparently you may need the 90 minutes back.
But this has everybody in it. I mean, I know. Danny DeVito, Owen Wilson, Rosario Dawson, Jared Leto—they're all in. I mean, this is a big cast.
Yeah, well, it's Jared Leto, but you know that's a whole other thing.
You got that right.
But Lakeith Stanfield, it's an outstanding cast. I was kind of excited about the trailers. Don't look bad, but the reviews do. It's running less than 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. I did hear some folks coming out of it last night who are not, necessarily the most discerning audience in the world. It was, some young girls, maybe late teens, maybe early 20s, complaining about the fact that the movie had no plot.
Oh, okay. So,
I mean, we're talking, one of them was wearing a Scooby-Doo shirt. So, the plot level.
When
is
the non-sophisticates notice the plot
and
absence. That's funny.
I'm a huge Scooby-Doo fan.
I know you're not disparaging.
What the average plot level on Scooby-Doo is. And, if you're not living up to at least that level, I mean, I feel like I love the ride. It's such a great premise, and I don't understand why the only decent thing we've gotten out of this in terms of a film
or televised
effort was the Muppets Haunted Mansion that we got a couple of years ago on Disney Plus, which is legitimately really, really good. I don't know if you've seen that, but don't go see this movie. Just fire up your Disney Plus and watch Muppets Haunted Mansion, because that was really good. It was a lot of fun. Plays with the conventions of the ride.
I did want to.
The best thing the Muppets have done in a while, too, for that matter.
Before we're out of time, which is almost now, I did want to just ask you. I mean, I hear great things about both Barbie and Oppenheimer. We weren't able to get you on last week, but the combined phenomenon on a single weekend that you would have huge turnout at the movies, is this the "we're finally back" kind of thing?
I mean, I think if we can continue to get product like that and it can continue to be well promoted, yeah, it could be. Now, that's not going to happen as long as we have, the studios not willing to treat the writers and actors in a decent manner, while we continue to have both unions on strike because the studios want to replace them all with robots and pay them about 10 cents each. No.
But robots are clever.
Yeah, it goes to show you when you have interesting filmmakers and interesting creators and they really, step up behind a project. And, I know Christopher Nolan was concerned about having another movie out the week of Oppenheimer, but, it ended up paying off for both of them in the way that these two things kind of came together in a pop culture confluence. A lot of people went to see both of them, and you had two films open at more than $50 million for the first time in forever.
Yeah, it's a great note for the industry.
And both expected to leave the box office again this weekend. I have seen Barbie. Barbie is very good. And I will see Oppenheimer this weekend. I just have not had, it's such a long film. I haven't had the time to devote to it, but I plan to see it this weekend.
Well, Christopher Nolan doesn't make shorts. we'll just put it that way. Doesn't. What are you guys going to watch next week, Julio?
Next week, we're looking at, there actually will be some preview screenings on Saturday, and I may try to get to it on Saturday rather than waiting till next week, but the new animated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem is coming out, and looks to be pretty good. Some of the early buzz is that this may be one of the best Ninja Turtles movies, so we'll look forward to checking that out.
All right, follow them on Facebook, the Pensacola Movie Club, and then, you can get your information there, and also Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturday. Julio hosts that here on our news radio. Julio, thanks for the time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Andrew.
All right, Transgressors Memorial Service comes up next. Candy is out today, but Gracie has traffic on the fives.
Well, roads are looking pretty good right now. Did just get a text in I-10 westbound in Alabama just across the state line. Left lane is closed beginning around mile marker 62. That is due to construction. Not seeing current delays because of it. But thank you so much for texting in. If you see anything else on the roads, always feel free to text in if that's easiest or call to 850-262-6111. That's the traffic line number. I'm Gracie with your traffic on the fives on News Radio 92.3.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Have you been thinking about getting fit but don't know where to start? Why not start at Running Wild? Running Wild specializes in fitting every person to the proper shoe, apparel, and training designed for their unique needs. An essential resource to the community on all things fitness related, Running Wild takes pride in serving, teaching, and encouraging customers to reach new goals. Start your fitness journey with the experts at Running Wild in Pensacola and Fairhope. Follow on Facebook or shop online at WeRunWild.com.
That's Mike saying good morning. It's the best he can do right now. Yeah, not a cloud in the sky. What Mike could use is a fresh start. And Irish Spring body wash. The fresh scent of Irish Spring and those sensational Irish Spring suds are just the reset Mike needs. Now he's ready
to go to work.
It's Sunday. Irish Spring. When the spring hits you, you're ready. Pick up Irish Spring today.
Never miss a breaking news story or important weather update again. Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
The first remembrance this week is for actor Stanley Tucci, who recently claimed there's nothing wrong with heterosexual actors like him portraying homosexual characters on film. As he told the BBC,
I'm always very flattered when gay men come up to me and talk about The Devil Wears Prada, mm-hmm. or they talk about Supernova, and they say that, like, it was just so beautiful, you did it the right way. Because often it's not done the right way.
But of course, this has long been the problem in Hollywood. Actors daring to play parts that take on roles they should not, and thereby marginalizing actual members of those demographics, whether racial, physical ability, or sexual orientation. So many films had white actors putting on blackface and marginalizing blackness while also displacing black actors. So many able-bodied actors have put on the pretense of disability, whether physical or mental, and thereby marginalized the alternately abled, as well as preventing them from getting work. And now Stanley Tucci is defending his habit of putting on gay face and taking jobs away from actual homosexuals.
I really do believe that an actor is an actor is an actor. You're supposed to play different people. You just are. That's the whole point of it.
But this is absurd. How can a straight man accurately pretend to be a gay man? Are we really to believe that a straight man can be authentic portraying a sexual orientation he's never experienced? Surely it's far more authentic to let gay actors portray the roles they have actually lived. If anything, what we should be doing is letting gay men perform straight roles, since so many gay men have spent much of their lives pretending to be straight due to the bigotry against them in our society. In contrast, how many straight men have any experience at all pretending to be gay? Nearly none. This is simply a matter of professional excellence. We should hire gays to play everyone and let straights play only themselves. Down with gay face and out with Stanley Tucci. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Go rest high on the mountain.
Second, being on time and the privileging of punctuality. As anyone who has studied intersectional history knows, the entire concept of timeliness as a virtue is a construct imposed on oppressed minorities by the white patriarchy.
Being on time is white supremacy, because what are they always on time to do? Oppress.
As this Instagram influencer says, so true. White Westernism believes in punctuality, but many African and Hispanic cultures simply don't share this weird fixation. CPT as an acronym exists for a good reason. But it could just as easily be HPT, reflecting the polychronic attitude of black and brown cultures in which tasks are done in parallel rather than in sequence, and values such as family and relationship are prioritized over transactional productivity. Whereas monochronic cultures consider interruptions and distractions as a problem, non-white cultures consider them an ordinary part of a healthy life. Thus, punctuality, timeliness, and deadlines in general are just another form of institutional racism, which is why they're used by companies to disadvantage polychronic peoples under the pretense of what they so arrogantly call professionalism. But now we're learning that in addition to being racist, the expectation of being on time is based on ignorance of the very real challenge of time blindness, a neurodivergent inability to correctly gauge how long tasks actually take. Historically treated as a character flaw or a skills deficiency, time blindness is really better understood as a brain function difference which deserves understanding, inclusion, and accommodation. Instead of treating the time blind who are chronically late for appointments, scrambling to do things at the last minute, and penalized for interrupting events already in progress, we should recognize the gift of tardiness. This stressed-out culture of ours needs an anti-punctuality revolution. And if we can just start learning the lesson our fellow time-blind citizens are trying to teach us, instead of othering and marginalizing them for their lateness, perhaps we can finally destabilize the timearchy and usher in the blissful siestatopia of polychronic unproductivity at last. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, we want to recognize the excellent work being done by the Church of England to degender God, especially as the Archbishop of York this week noted that calling God our Father in the Lord's Prayer is deeply problematic. Now, we have previously exegeted the sexism embedded in any masculine reference to God. Even if we were to concede that God chose to reveal himself as male to the oppressively patriarchal culture of ancient Israel, we don't have any proof that they still would identify as male in today's more gender-fluid cultures. Just because God was assigned male at Genesis does not mean they want to be called a he, him, his today. So clearly, we should not only refer to them as a they, but also should talk about the Holy Trinity as Parent, Son, and Holy Ghost, putting aside for the moment good questions about whether even Jesus would still identify as male. After all, he did associate well with women, and he never went on a date or played sports, so maybe we just shouldn't be too adamant about the whole sonship thing. But God's gender wasn't even the main point Archbishop Cottrell had in mind.
If this God to whom we pray is Father, and yes, I know the word Father is problematic, for those whose experience of earthly fathers has been destructive and abusive, and for all of us who have labored rather too much from an oppressively patriarchal grip on life.
What wisdom! Choosing to cast aside the church's historic goal of redeeming broken fatherhood by bringing congregants into a healthy relationship with their true Father in heaven through sound preaching and the healing work of the Holy Spirit, the Archbishop has realized that it's better to cater to the mental frailty of those who've had bad fathers and simply avoid this triggering topic altogether. But of course, saying our parent who art in heaven isn't much help for those who've had troubled experiences with both parents, or who have not known their parents, or who have lived in foster homes. So instead, when teaching God's people to pray, perhaps the best path forward is to have them say, our buddy, whose gender is undetermined. See, simple, inclusive, and non-triggering to anybody. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Following today's service, we will be meeting in Fellowship Hall for a period of fasting and tambourine cacophony to express solidarity with our brethren, sistren, and other in the Screenwriters and Actors Guilds who are striking for their rights in Hollywood, as we have been recently deprived of the daily reaffirmation of our faith from our beloved televangelist, Reverend Kimmel and Bishop Colbert. It is incumbent upon us to earnestly seek the end of this current hindrance to the spread of the gospel of wokeism. Also, a reminder that our conference is still boycotting the states of Florida, Georgia, Alabama, and Texas. If you must endanger the planet by taking a vacation, please only travel to the certified ally states of California, Illinois, and New York, or Canada. Canada is certainly still in the alliance.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otheren, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal, and go forth and transgress no more.
827 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Candy is out today, so we have Gracie for traffic.
Well, the roads are looking pretty good right now. Just to keep in mind, on I-10, we do have some construction going on. That's westbound in Alabama, just across the state line. Left lane is closed off due to construction. Not seeing any slowdowns because of it. See anything else, call into the traffic line. I'm Gracie with your traffic on the fives.
Now, Gracie, you were actually telling me that you saw a TikTok.
Oh, yes.
there is a TikTok on time blindness.
She's crying.
She's really... I don't even know if I have a chance to play it for you today, but we'll share it on Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's no, for one. Sure. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
There was a report of an active shooter at the Tesla Gigafactory today, but it turned out to be a false alarm. Police in Austin, Texas say they got reports this morning of shots fired at the facility. Medics and police showed up, but deputies cleared the building and they found nothing. And, Andrew, there's a legal battle brewing between a couple of companies in Washington State that clean up dog poop. Pooper Troopers suing a business by the name of Scoop Troop for copyright infringement and unfair competition. This lawsuit was filed this week in U.S. District Court. Now, apparently in the Seattle area, the dog waste removal business is booming. There's multiple companies that offer the service, including Poopless in Seattle, Poop Scoop and Boogie, and Scoopology. But Pooper Trooper says that Scoop Troop has too similar of a name and infringes their trademark.
Well, this is big business, obviously. So
very big.
He did big business. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Wow. That's the best story I've ever heard. All of those names. It's amazing. Hey, if you're thinking about selling your house, just thinking about it, like a maybe, or thinking about buying a house, maybe because you've been renting and you're like, oh, this is terrible. Christina Leavenworth. I mean, you know, she's really, really effective at selling homes, more than 230 homes sold last year. And what you might think is, well, I don't want to bother her. I mean, I don't even know if I want to sell my home. First of all, not a bother. Second of all, she likes talking to people. And her view is, if I can be of help. She says, I listened to her say it on Pep Talk last week with Tammy Martin. I love helping people and talking with them and meeting them. And I'm a nerd about real estate and I love talking about it with folks. And if I can help them make a good decision, great. And if that decision for them is not, well, great. I've helped people. Okay. And if the decision is yes, great. If the decision is not now, but later in a couple of years, I mean, whatever. Or they recommend a friend or they don't. It doesn't matter. She just loves talking to folks and meeting them and helping them. And she is certainly very, very capable at doing that. So if you're thinking about it or you know somebody who is, Christina Leavenworth, 723-9158, 723-9158. 91.58. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to have the wrap. We got Butch Hansen and Craig Hinesman here in studio with me to talk about the events of the week. Could be Milton comes up, just saying maybe. David, what do you have coming up in your news, sir?
Local leaders will be on the phone with the Air Force today. We'll have more after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump calls it election interference at the highest level. Three new criminal charges over classified documents.
The 45th president and GOP presidential frontrunner now faces an additional count of willful retention of national defense information, along with two new additional counts of obstruction. Trump is now formally accused of asking a Mar-a-Lago staff member to erase camera footage in an attempt to obstruct the probe into classified documents that wound up at his Palm Beach, Florida resort.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer, that employee now faces charges. The Senate passes a defense spending bill that has Republican opposition in the House.
This sets up a showdown between the two chambers when Congress returns from August recess, as there's likely to be debate over amendments related to social issues, such as the military's funding for travel expenses for service members to get abortion services.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. The Senate vote was 86 to 11. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 84, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. Local and state leaders will be on the phone with the Air Force today. Secretary Frank Kendall, they're expecting news that the Air Force could potentially be moving Special Operations Forces out of Hurlburt Field.
No one has said that our bases have any problem fulfilling their mission. Nobody. So this seems like it's just a political decision by the Biden administration, but I'm going to fight like hell to stop it.
Scott, along with Senator Marco Rubio and Congressman Matt Gaetz, will be on that call today. And according to a 2022 economic impact statement, military and civilian salaries bring more than $1 billion into our area. Following a presentation last night on impact fees, Santa Rosa County leaders decided not to take action, but they did discuss the issue.
I do think that something, you know, a reasonable impact fee, a reasonable amount, which frankly I see the $1,636 average for a single family home appears to be pretty darn reasonable.
That's Commission Chairman Colton Wright. And during the presentation, Duncan Representative Clancy Mullins outlined potential impact fees for buyers of new homes in Santa Rosa County. Those fees ranged from $1,586 for homes smaller than 2,000 square feet up to $1,846 for 3,000 square foot homes. If separate fees for parks and law enforcement were added, those fees would go up to $1,911 to $2,254 for single family homes. Well, FHP investigating after a fatal pedestrian crash on New Warrington. That's before it curves and becomes Fairfield. That crash happened right by Twin Oaks Drive at about 5 o'clock this morning, and troopers say a man was driving a pickup truck north when he hit a woman standing in the middle of the road, in the middle of the outside lane of the road. The identity of that woman still being investigated. Florida FWC looking for information on a person suspected of illegal dumping in the cantonment area. The suspect seen on camera in a Dodge Ram with one black and one silver rim on the passenger side. FWC suspecting the person lives in that cantonment area. And we'll be sharing a photo on the News Radio Facebook page. Of course, if you have any information on that, contact Crime Stoppers. Century woman arrested recently after reportedly becoming unruly on an airplane. This was over at the Pensacola airport, then running towards a runway. North Escambia reporting that 35-year-old Teresa Louise Owens was charged with felony trespassing after this happened. According to a report, Owens became unruly on an American Airlines flight, refused to leave the plane after PPD officers arrived. Owens did leave the plane, but then ran through a fire exit and onto an area near a runway. She was then arrested without further incident and remains in the Escambia County Jail, also reportedly being held on several felony warrants out of Denton, Texas. And it is 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Gracie has a look at our traffic on the fives.
I-10 and I-110 not showing any major delays. We do have a traffic tip that there's some construction on I-10 westbound. That's going to be right after the Alabama-Florida state line. Left lane's going to be blocked off due to construction, but moving smoothly right now. If you see anything else on the roads, always feel free to call into the traffic line. That number's 850-262-6111. And this traffic report brought to you by Irish Spring. Fill your shower with fresh, clean scent of Irish Spring and those seasonal and those sensational Irish Spring. Irish Spring, when spring hits you, you're ready. Pick up Irish Spring today. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3.
It's going to be a warm and humid day today with temperatures topping out in the low to mid 90s. 20% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping into the upper 70s. As we head into the weekend, humidity continues to rise with rain chances slowly increasing for both Saturday and Sunday. 30 and 40% chance of rain both days, and we will have our temperatures in the mid to upper 90s. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's 84 in Pensacola, 83 in Gulf Breeze, and 77 in Milton. And your money now this morning, the market opening up. The Dow's up 143.98 at 35,426.70. S&P 500 up 30.25 at 45,67.66. Our NASDAQ up 157.15 at 14,207.26 this morning. The 10-year bond rate down at 3.98%. Gold prices up 8.30 at 1,954. Silver prices at 24.38 today. For crypto investors, Bitcoin is up 132.45 at 29.267 this morning. Public companies are going to have to report cybersecurity incidents within 4 days. This is under new rules from the Securities and Exchange Commission. SEC Chief Gary Gensler says that while many public companies do reveal those types of security threats to investors, a consistent method of disclosure would be beneficial. The new rules, of course, will also mean lots of new paperwork. Investors will be keeping an eye out today for earnings results from ExxonMobil. They're also awaiting data on personal income and spending. Those reports due out later on this morning. And Bud Light maker Anheuser-Busch laying off about 350 people after the recent fallout of a boycott against its partnership with transgender influencer Dylan Mulvaney. That's about 2% of its workforce in the U.S. And a spokesperson for Anheuser-Busch InBev says it's an attempt to simplify and reduce layers in their corporate structure after backlash from conservatives at Anheuser-Busch working. Bud Light lost its top spot recently as the top-selling beer for the first time in over two decades. It is 8:37 News Radio 92.3. Our next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
To the hip, hop, the hibbit of a hip, hip hop, you don't stop. Rap, rap, rap.
I will definitely call you back later, then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle out.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Commissioner Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's the end of the week. It's time to have a couple of friends here in studio with me to talk about the news and events and whatever happens to come up today. We've got a couple of repeat offenders, a very, very good recidivist, Butch Hansen, who is a retired captain in the U.S. Navy, former sub-commander Butch. Welcome back.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
Always good to have you and your lovely bride, who is also sometimes here. And you guys just got back from a great vacation in the Northeast. Craig Heinzman, who is the community engagement pastor at Marcus Point Baptist Church. Craig, welcome back.
Thanks. I got the text, and I was like, who is this? I don't know who.
You weren't busy, like, directing traffic at a middle school or something like that?
No. I wasn't commanding a sub, that's for certain.
Let's, because I will forget Okay, and we will. I don't want to let the time get past us. Sportsman's Night Out is coming up. In fact, you're wearing a shirt to remind me.
I'm wearing a shirt to remind you. August the 3rd on Thursday, we'll have Willie Robertson from Duck Dynasties, and we'll have Hank Parker, Hall of Fame fisherman, going to be there. We're giving away
everything.
Everything. A camper, a tractor, two complete HVAC systems. We've got some great sponsors like Florida Air. And Carpenters Campers and Coastal Machinery all have been doing helping us out, but we've got a ton of other ones that, I mean, we've got guns and all kinds of stuff to give away. So,
and this is at the Bay Center?
It's at the Bay Center. Okay. Yeah, tickets are only $10. There's only a limited number left, so if you want them, you can go online to Ticketmaster or go down to the Bay Center or come to the church office.
So it's sort of a God, guns, and ducks. Kinda.
Yeah, pretty much. Anybody that's into outdoors, fishing and hunting, this is the place you want to be.
Outstanding. Yeah. Very cool. I wanted to give you a chance to talk about that.
Thanks.
Since we're in the promoting what people are doing stuff, but you've been lightly involved in the Chappie James.
Well, I've been more than lightly involved.
He's a board member.
As a treasurer.
Yeah.
And, but no, we had a groundbreaking. You were on vacation for that. It was
I don't know why they scheduled it while I was on vacation. So
well, I just talked to Senator Brock for a minute. But,
Janice was like, "Oh darn," you know. So
we're getting close to starting construction on that fantastic Memorial Plaza. It'll be there at the head of the General Chappie James Memorial Bridge, and we were fortunate to have his granddaughter and niece there, and they were just fantastic and very appreciative of this community.
But big stuff going on here. I'm going today to Leonardo Helicopters having the groundbreaking.
Oh, really?
For the NES Whiting thing on the back gate. Yeah, so it's a lot of stuff like that. And the school is opening up today. They're having a ribbon cutting for that in Santa Rosa County, the Wallace Lake School. So very cool. Okay, quick bet. I'm going to put you on the spot, Butch. What gets installed first? The plane, the flag, and the statue, or the replacement railings for the Wayside Park damaged in Sally?
Well, you're kind of picking a scab on those on those railings at Wayside Park.
Yeah.
But,
were there railings at Wayside Park?
I don't know. Yeah. I saw historic
anymore,
pictures from the 50s.
The airplane will be, because it's hard to put an airplane in when you got an 80-foot flagpole and a statue next to it. So the airplane will go in first.
Airplane's going in
first.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And then eventually, maybe by the 2040s, we might have railings and sidewalk.
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah.
If FEMA ever gets the money to us. Okay.
Yeah.
One thing that came up, there's a lot of stuff to talk about this week. One of the things I want to talk about is the rumor, threat, possibility, catastrophe for Hurlburt Air Force Base that AFSOC might move First South, First Special Operations Wing, to, I don't want to say this wrong, Montham?
Davis-Montham.
Yeah, in Arizona.
Right.
Which would be, you know, it's not just losing the Spookies and the Ospreys and all of the various aircraft and the Reapers and the Predators and all the stuff they do, but it's 14, 15, 16,000 service members associated and that mission.
Impact.
That is, I mean, okay, how worried should we be about this, in your opinion?
I think pretty worried. These things are always political to some extent, and I used to do the capability analysis for the Navy needs that should drive their budget. Senator Scott's concerned they don't want to talk to us till after this budget's passed, but apparently it's not very transparent in the budget that this move, because this is an expensive move.
Oh, sure.
But I do know that the Air Force is interested in standing up a Special Forces wing in Davis-Montham, since they're losing their A-10 contingent.
Oh, as they're retiring the frame.
Right.
Okay.
So they want to replace that out there. Now, these things are always political, but it's interesting that the discussion would just start after it's funded, supposedly.
After which is funded? The transition off for the A-10?
Perhaps the transition's already funded in the defense bill that's ready to be passed.
Oh, right, okay.
And they don't want to talk to the senators until after that's passed, because they say, we already have the money for it.
This would be devastating.
It's already set up, ready to go. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry. It's
unusual way to do it, but...
This would be devastating for our area.
It would be.
Yeah, 14,000 people, that's a massive impact.
And I wonder what the bigger picture is, because, you know, I think it was only 2010, 2011 when the 7th Army Special Forces group was moved from Fort Bragg down to Eglin. And, yeah, of course, they train together, the Air Force contingent and the Army Special Forces contingent.
So if the one's not there anymore.
Yeah. So what happens to the other one? Is the 7th Group going to move or what? I don't know.
So and you think, I mean, obviously, once you start, if something so big can so easily, from our perspective, you know, be lost, we start to ask other questions, right? I mean, what we know half a billion dollars in repairs to NAS Pensacola.
Right,
with the Navy staring at,
and then the schools outside Pensacola,
right,
outside NAS,
the rent, living conditions. I've said this so many times, and we've had, you know, base commanders and other people say this so many times, but we take for granted because it seems like, oh, obviously that's our thing, having the Blues here, or having, I mean, having Netsy here,
period,
having the
yeah.
Matsegs here. I mean, whatever, right. You know, you pick your tenant command, that it's so obvious it has to be here. Now, I would say, I mean, Whiting seems pretty secure but, you know, there's a lot of things at NAS Pensacola that you could just wind up, you wake up one day and be like, oh, what?
Well, the contingent, I mean, Congressman Gates mentioned, said, hey, we went to the Navy, said, put on your priority list a new hangar for NAS Pensacola.
Right.
And we'll get the money for it. We have the money for it. And they didn't do that. So the infrastructure, and my wife can attest to this, she used to be the wing commander over there.
Yep.
And she was the wing commander for 2 hurricanes over there. And those hangars have never been completely repaired for that.
Yeah.
So
it's
a big bill to fix them.
But Gates says we have the money. Now it's just getting
the Navy to want
to want to do it. And that's a right there's a signal in and of itself, we're saying, hey, well, you know, the money's there, but
well, and in
I mean,
conjunction
maybe I don't put
with
that money in there,
you know, other things that we've had going on with access to the base and you know, a lot of criticism, and I don't have any peek behind the scenes, but I'm just saying you put all this together and let's just not take things for granted, but that would be
absolutely
devastating to imagine the possibility.
We have a group that working hard to bring attention to this to protect that NAS Pensacola asset.
Yeah, so I mean, when we talk about school conditions and rent, you know, we're not just talking about for us.
Right.
There is a massive economic implication for getting those problems at least under control, if not actively.
There's an
fixed.
Attractional quality to it that
That's
if we
absolutely.
Do not have that, why spend the money to come here and invest more money in the base if the community outside the base is not improving.
Right. And this is everything from, you know, Tim Kinsler years ago raising the issue about people de-preferencing NAS for their, their options for their change of station, to developing long-term investment in, you know, in military industrial related activities outside the gate. You know, do we have the right sewer system? Do we have, you know, all of that kind of infrastructural stuff too. So infrastructural kind of stuff too. 8:47 here on News Radio 92.3, The Wrap with Butch Hanson, Craig Heinzman. Let's get traffic on the fives from Gracie sitting in for Candy this morning.
Muller roads are looking good. No major slowdowns to report, but if you do see something on the roads this morning, give a call to 850-262-6111. That's a traffic line number. You can give your details there. I'm Gracie on News Radio 923.
Thanks so much, Gracie. All right, Craig, when you think about leadership and goodwill and managing in a Christ-like manner, and you think about personalities and you think about the city of Milton.
Oh, man. That's a hot mess.
Populated entirely by self-described Christians who just can't quite seem to...
I really don't understand. I do to some degree because I worked up in Jay, Florida for 3.5 years. So
okay.
I get the interest of the very rural farm community. I get that. And the, hey, we don't want to change. We want to keep things the same. But you've got developments going in there. You've got all kinds of stuff happening in that northern area of Santa Rosa County. You're going to have to change. And you're going to have to figure out a way to come together and have conversations. And that's what bothers me the most about listening to those Milton City Council meetings. I mean, that father that had brought his kid.
Yes.
I'm going, thank you for standing up and speaking some sanity into this hot mess.
Just random dad of a Boy Scout bringing his son to the required watch of a city council meeting. He's like, what in tarnation? And it was the second time he'd brought his daughter for a previous one.
And
he's like,
people were walking out of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to have... Christ dealt with a lot of people that disagree with him.
Sure.
And he did it in such, he did it in a manner. He wasn't always the nice guy, and we don't have to be the nice guy, but you've got to be willing to listen, to hear, to see where people are, and then disagree in a manner that's not childish. That's my thing. Is there some, it seems to be just some childish behavior going on.
Kind of an insult to children, though.
That's true.
if we could get the Milton City Council meetings to aspire to third grade standards, I mean, yeah, then we'd probably be doing something.
But there's some great things that, I mean, that whole community.
It's a great town.
It's so
fantastic.
Amazing. The
yes,
downtown, what they're doing with the boardwalk and everything down there, and
the Marina RFP.
Yeah.
And they were on the verge of getting a university from, you know, that deal just didn't quite come through, but they're going to get something else. They got the skate track going. I mean, like, it's a great place.
There's a lot of people that want to move out that way.
Yeah.
But then you get in there. It's just like go back to the base stuff. You get in there and you want to become a resident in the area, and you go, wait a second, do I want to become a resident?
Right.
We've seen better run student council meetings in high school.
Again, you know, I would have them aspire to. You know, it's kind of funny. Now,
maybe they should be visiting the student council.
my son runs parliamentary procedure for FFA. Maybe we can send them over there.
Now, so I was raised, my dad was a Methodist pastor, okay? So, you know, and he was not, I mean, some bigger churches like in Detroit, but also some very, very small churches. And my own personal experience, and I think this is borne out by just sort of general awareness, is that there's no fight quite like the fight of the board at a small town church.
I will agree to that 100%.
And it feels like Milton is aspiring to outperform the small town church board.
The church I was at, we had a Sunday where one of the deacons threw a chair at the pastor. I'm not saying undeservedly, but in the middle of a Sunday, picked up a chair and threw it at the pulpit. So yeah, there's some stuff that can happen in a small town church.
And it just, you know.
Hopefully he turned the other chair.
He turned the other chair.
That's funny. So Butch, have you ever been in an, I mean, you know, you work with city council. You were the budget analyst for Pensacola City Council. Even Pensacola, you know, a couple of iterations ago was a lot more contentious than it is now. But even there, I've never seen anything like this.
Never seen anything quite like this. But, you know, there are other local boards that have not performed as one might expect.
I do not disagree with your assessment. That's a very diplomatic way to not name names.
It's somewhat embarrassing sometimes.
Yeah.
But There's some common traits there, though. There seems to be an aversion to having any expert from outside come in and perhaps have new ideas.
Yeah. Can I say this? I on the one hand, I recognize it's crazy and awful and hilarious all at the same time.
Right.
There's also, I'm aware of this, like, I mean, democracy is where a bunch of people who don't agree about things agree about a way to get together and disagree about things.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's fundamentally what a city council or a county commission does. They run local government, which is going to be issues of contention between neighbors, one of which wants a pig, one of which doesn't want to live next to a pig. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff is normal. It just seems like so disagreement is built into the mechanism. It's there to handle disagreement. Of course, there's going to be disagreement. It just seems like, I don't know, maybe it's the public forum stuff that's tipping it all over the edge, but it just feels like there's something different.
I think public forum has always been the random craziness of the world that just walks in and being like, hey, I want to tell you about saucy. We should rename wings to our boneless wings to saucy nugs, you know, that kind of thing. You kind of expect it from public forum. What you expect, though, is those that are not in the public forum but serving in the public sector to say, hey, there's a decorum. There is a way we handle things. That's where I think we're losing it.
I do think that the Pensacola City Council handles the public forum a bit better in that they do not allow personal attacks or ad hominem attacks.
And generally, in Escambia County, I would say that at times they have been allowed when it served the purposes of the chairman, but generally that's a rule as well. Mm-hmm. And also, by the way, one of the things that's super weird about the way Milton runs their meetings is you can get up and talk, and then you can come back up and talk, and then
you can back and forth
with other people in the public. Right. I mean, it happens all the time. And at least Santa Rosa, the commission meeting there, they've gotten that, Colton Wright's gotten that a little bit more under control in terms of, you know, one time, this much time, whatever. But yeah, Milton is just kind of like anybody can just get up and talk at any moment. And there's something about that that could be healthy for public engagement, but it is obviously not functioning in that way right now.
And I agree. And, you know, the democratic system is sort of designed to bring all the ideas together, and then and then we'll vote and do what's best. But so how you do that is fine, but there should be some level of decorum, and otherwise you just don't shout people down or you know, call their mother names or something like that.
Well, and but, the you know, the other thing is, like, the five loudest people do not represent the
often not
the 5 or 10,000. But you know,
and that's
they like
loudest
to talk and be heard, and they're loud and obnoxious, and they say crazy things, and sometimes injudicious people play them on the radio. I mean, you know, I genuinely sometimes feel guilty as being part of the feedback, Luke. Like I'm feeding the trolls, and maybe I shouldn't. You know,
there is something I think when you look at social media culture and what we share and what we put out there and how we feed ourselves, this stuff, because reality TV has spiked. I don't know about you. I don't know if you watch some of this new reality TV that's out there. My wife loves, like, the 90 Day Fiancé and those shows. And they're hot messes. And I deal with, you know, relationship problems all throughout the week.
You see it in reality.
And
right?
I'm like, I don't want to come home. This is not entertainment. This is stressing me out.
Yeah.
But we feed ourselves with this drama. We love to share the drama. And so now when we get in public forums, we're, let's make some drama.
Yeah.
You know, let's make this entertaining or exciting. And that's it's a problem.
And it would be naive to think that at least some of the people that are causing the drama aren't doing it for the exact purpose of causing the drama, because they like the attention, they like to feel important, they like to have their say, they like to provoke people. I mean, it's a mindset I don't understand, but I'm not dumb. I have to recognize it's out there. That's a pathology that's out there in the world.
Absolutely.
We're going to take a real quick break. Gracie in here with traffic on the fives.
Well, our roads are looking pretty good with I-10 and I-110 not showing any major delays. But if you're moving westbound right after the Alabama-Florida state line, there is some construction with the left lane closed. So expect just to move over. But it's looking good. I-10, I-110 not showing any delays. If you see anything else, call the traffic line. I'm Gracie with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Gracie. All right, last subject for the day, UFOs. UAPs.
I knew this was happening. I'm ready. Yeah,
we had a guy text in the other day, and he's like, well, the Bible says, you know, that there can't be. And I'm like, I don't think it does say that. I mean, you know, you might consider demons and angels and otherwise.
Well, as I was saying, there's the Bible a number of other created beings outside of humanity in Scripture. We know that.
We know there's other stuff.
So
for sure.
I think it's personally, I think it's limiting to say, well, he can't.
Right.
Well, he can.
You don't
did
know.
He? I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know what he can't do. I mean, no,
we know what he has done.
Right.
We have, if you're someone who says the Bible is the word of God, then you believe in beings that are not earthly made.
Yep.
Already. It should be built into your DNA. So at that
are they
point,
flying around in translucent spheres enclosing black boxes? Maybe not, but
I want to know what our military does have.
Right.
I want to see it. It's so fascinating that we're talking about this now.
I know. I won't ask you to violate any of your your federal
law. Retired now. You can
allowances.
Say what you want, right?
Still there's things he cannot say.
We didn't see much under the water, but
well, that's okay. No. But you
that's a good
that's
point.
Come up where they're saying there's underwater things as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're saying that's a part of the conversation is what might be going on in the water too.
I just think that. I guess I take it all with a grain of salt. People in this government cannot keep a secret that much, you know. They just can't. We can't. I don't think we could have had alien beings for decades, and somebody wouldn't have.
A lot of people knew about it, though. They were camped out outside Area 51 with the aluminum hats.
They did know, and that's why it came out in the movies. Have you not seen Men in Black? I mean,
well,
you know,
yeah, we've
you
seen
let
all
a little
that,
truth out just so you can make the people feel like they've gotten
no.
You never get any firsthand thing. Everybody, well, I heard a guy who had firsthand knowledge, and he said, you know, or is he just being fed? Who knows? I don't deny that there could be.
But you're not in just yet.
And I wonder if a lot of it is just experimental aircraft that we're not being told about. That's my thing for you know, American-made or earthly-made aircraft. They're like, yeah, that's an UFO. We don't want to tell you what we're doing.
Well, I love to hear the voice of well-experienced skepticism from my sub guy, Craig Heinzman and Butch Hansen. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you on Monday.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
A fatal pedestrian crash in the early morning hours today. Also, roads are going to be closed near Eglin Air Force Base for weapons testing. We'll have those stories and more after this update from Fox News.
He won't stop running, even if convicted.
I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News. That's what former President Trump told a radio show this morning, again claiming he did nothing wrong as more charges are added to the classified documents criminal case, including an accusation he tried to get a staffer who is now also charged to delete security footage.
Two obstruction of...